teach people the difference between spot and futures. And like I just said before, there's a big problem out there to this day. And it's really these spot storage accounts. And I want to wake people up with these outside spread charges. And, you know, like right now I said before, they're really going after 401k money, and then teach people about the futures markets and, you know, that spread charge that ever so important.
Drew Roethlisberger, how are you?
Good, Andy. How are you doing?
Doing good. I didn't say your last name correctly. Say that for me, if you would.
It's Roethlisberger, which is actually, like I said, it's German, which just means wise man, a giver of advice, which is kind of funny being in this industry. So
well, I'm here for your advice. So let's talk about gold. Let's talk first about your background, how you got to where you're going or where you're at right now. What do you do?
Sure. Back almost 20 years ago, or just a little over 20 years ago, I started at one of the nation's largest spot bullion dealers in Newport Beach, California, called Monex. It's a multi-billion dollar firm, and I worked on a spot trading floor with probably about, I'd say, between 40 to 50 guys. And that was my introduction into precious metals, just dealing in the spot physical market. And then I transitioned in 2006. Actually, I was talking to my father on the freeway, and I was explaining to him what I did. And he says, oh, you just resell futures with added costs. And so his advice back then was to get into the futures. And I did. I took the Series 3 and transitioned into the futures market in 06 and been there ever since. And then more recently, a year and a half ago, because of my background, in precious metals, I launched ProGoldTrader.com to really get my story out and kind of help people navigate the precious metals markets.
Yeah, well, tell me a little bit about your story, dive deeper into that. And I know you're passionate about a few things. Why are you so passionate about your story? How do I say this? Yes. Why are you so passionate about what you believe in, if you would? And walk me through all of that.
Sure. You know, when I worked in the spot market, I kind of figured out it was kind of a gimmick. And I knew back then that it was basically borderline fraud, what was going on in the spot market with this financing. And so I see a major problem.
I'm laughing at your candor. Thank you for being.
Just going to be authentic here. Just going to be as authentic as I can. And, you know, effectively, I knew what was going on, and I morally felt terrible working there. And so I quit, and in saying that, you know, I just want to get my story out and teach people the difference between spot and futures. And like I just said before, there's a big problem out there to this day, and it's really these spot storage accounts. And I want to wake people up with these outside spread charges. And, you know, like right now I said before, they're really going after 401k money, and then teach people about the futures markets and, you know, that spread charge, that ever so important spread charge.
Well, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, you teach me about the spread charts and the issues you found with the spread.
Well, yeah, and the spot price, you know, when you're paying, so for instance, if you're paying even a 1.5, 3%, 10% spread, which is the difference between the bid and ask price, in my opinion, it's basically because that's their revenue stream. And it's basically, in my opinion, it's theft. I mean, it's not really disclosed. It can change. They can change it from one product to another. They can do a lot of things to the general public on that spread charge, and they can really manipulate it against the general public. So what I'm trying to teach people is really focus on that spread charge. And there's an alternative. You know, there's futures out there. I'm not saying futures is for everyone. It's not. But in saying that, you know, I think a lot of people need to start waking up to those spread charges, because over time, particularly in a spot trading account, you know, you pop off 10 trades, you just inadvertently transferred a large portion of your wealth to that spot bullion dealer. And that's what I'm trying to get people to recognize. You may not think it's a lot, you know, some of these spreads are 1.2, 1.5%, or I should say as low as, but you pop off 10 trades and you just inadvertently transferred 15% of your wealth to that spot bullion dealer. So that's a major problem, right?
Right.
And so I want to just wake people up and show them that there's a futures, there's a more sophisticated, a sharper weapon out there to use to alleviate those trading costs.
Okay, well, tell me about that. So I'm a gold trader. I have limited experience, which I don't, but I have limited experience in trading gold. I want to purchase gold. I want to invest in gold. What are the ways you would recommend that?
Like I told you earlier, we got the ETFs, which you can do that as well. Or you can do the futures market or physical delivery. I'm still a fan of physical delivery. I think there's a place for that, you know, holding it in your hands. But when it comes to investing, you know, your 401ks, your IRAs, or just investing in general, larger sums, you know, that's where the futures and the ETFs come into play. So those are the instruments that I'm a big fan of. There's a lot of, I would say the bullion business has become kind of big business. There's all these different little, I've seen even subscription models popping up, which are not advantageous for the customer. So really, in my opinion, a regulated product from a regulated firm for a investment perspective is really what people need to focus on. The regulations are there to help, and there is consumer protection versus a lot of these spot bullion dealers. And spot bullion dealers, I think, are great for delivery, you know, and that's about it. But in saying that, realize you're in that collector category. As soon as you take it home for physical delivery, that's not really investing. That's really a collectible. And you got to look at it from that perspective. So I wouldn't take your, you know, larger sums. I mean, I've had a lot of clients over the years call me with 50 to 100,000 in gold and they can't find anyone to sell it to. You know, it's hard to offload. So just there's a lot of nuances with the physical market. You know, realize you buy it, you're a long-term player. You're going to be, you know, holding on to that.
Yeah. So walk me through that. You're constructing a gold portfolio here. What would you start with, or what would your, what would you do?
So, you know, that's a good question. Every client is so different. Every client has different financial goals, needs, and, you know, some of my clients, I don't use any leverage at all because they're risk adverse. They just want to take advantage of the cost effectiveness of the futures. And I have clients that are just straight up gamblers. You know, they're just swinging for, and it's risk capital and they don't care if they win or lose. They're going after the rush. But in saying that, so every client's a little bit different. So with me, what I do is I just kind of get to know that client, give advice, and then get professional placement based on what they're looking to do. It depends on the client. You know, I've got, like I said, some are risk adverse, so I'll leave a lot of ammunition available, a lot of gunpowder available for future situations, or stay kind of half in cash situation. But you can go ahead and do like a 1 to 2% like home delivery, do some futures products and some ETF products, and mix it, you know, mix it and diversify it.
Okay. Let me give you a profile. So my mother, who is probably going to listen to this interview, independently wealthy, but you would never know this. She's in her late 70s. She's coming to you with a sum of money and she wants to invest in gold. Okay. I get it. You get to know her, what her risk and over that, but just keep in mind everything that I just told you. How do you take that person and invest in gold? Because again, a bullion dealer is going to be like, here, you just need physical gold. Or
They'll try to maximize. So it depends on her age and what kind of risk, you know, like I said, the risk capital, you know, and it depends a lot on the relationship. You know, all of the stuff I do is very relationship focused. So I would listen to her. And let's just say, you know, based on her age and where she's at, you know, I might not do, and she's a gold bug. Let's say she's just naturally a gold bug. You know, I would place her into the precious metals, maybe on a 2-to-1 basis. I wouldn't go 3-to-1 and use a little bit of leverage, but nothing too crazy. Based on the cues and things I'm listening to her, if she says, you know, she's more risk averse, I probably would use maybe no leverage in that situation. And then I would give her advice to, she could diversify into some ETFs as well and some physical bullion if she wanted to. But it just, every person's so different. So every person's going to have a little bit of a unique trading advice, you know?
Yeah. No, so let's talk about this. What is the downside invest in trade? Trade is an interesting word.
There's always risk. I always tell you there's risk management is just as important as the trade itself sometimes. So in on my side of the fence, we have option plays. We can go long or short. So there's a lot more risk management tools kind of available to us. There's always risk of loss. If you're leveraged, there's a risk of going debit. You can go negative if you're using maximum leverage. So you got to be very careful with futures. And I even have an extra video on teaching people the leverage ratios. If people would really just understand the leverage and really master that, they can help manage their risk. But in saying that, with the futures markets, a lot of flexibility to kind of go, up or down or sideways in the markets.
Yeah. What's the downside again with
the downside is you lose money. Just like with anything. I mean, the downside, like I always tell people, there's downside and there's risk with, I mean, even your money sitting in the bank, if you've got, a larger sum of money. I mean, there's risk in everything that we affect. I mean, there's risk walking out my front door. There's risk in everything we do. And so what I try to do is really educate my clients and educate people on the risk parameters, and make sure they're comfortable with their position, because markets can turn on a dime, just like the narrative just switched. And I actually made a blog post about Trump's, election. And this is before the election, but I kind of had a feeling there was going to be a narrative switch. Now, I will say Trump was positive for gold during his first term. The future remains to be seen what happens in the future. But, you can have a narrative switch and you can have precious metals go from, 2,700 back down to 2,000. And so that's a risk parameter you got to be willing to accept.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about projecting here, and this is not advice, but projecting here. What do you see, and you mentioned Trump, what do you see over the next 3 to 4 years of the Trump presidency, and what does that mean for precious metals team?
All right, well, let's start with his first term. His first term was very positive for precious metals. It went up by, 52-53% under his first four-year term. The reasons for that was, lower interest rates and also the tariff situation. He created a very unstable economic environment, and he's already threatening 10 to 20, as high as 60% tariffs on China. I shouldn't say on China alone, but just across the board, and then 60% possibly on China. That's why I think we saw Mr. Bezos cashing out a lot of Amazon stock. But in saying that, he was very positive for gold. But I think this round, it's hard to get a specific pulse on it, because I think Trump learned a lot of kind of what not to do in his first term. I think he's going to come in a little bit different, but if he does cut the deficit, I'm not going to say cut the deficits, but if he does reshape our government, it would bolster the U.S. dollar. You could see a negative decline in precious metals. Right now it's tough to say. But I will say Trump did spend a lot of money under his first term. He spent a lot of money. I think it's over $7 trillion. So if he stays on that, then gold will go up. But if he comes in with these radical changes that he's talking about, you better be on your toes. Gold could correct severely. So,
yeah. It's an interesting subject. That's probably the last couple of weeks. That's probably the number one question that I'm getting. And if I can share my opinion.
Yeah, go ahead.
And it's really hard to be, nobody's completely objective, right? And I have a lot of skin in this game, just so everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to see them taking, the punch bowl. I mean, it's just hard. I think if they take away stimulating the economy, and I think they'll cut. Don't get me wrong. I think they'll cut, but it's hard to see them taking away money printing, because it will collapse. I think that's just where we're at. That's just my view.
And that's the other thing too. He was all about, campaigned off lower interest rates, he campaigned off of that. Right. So he told you what he wanted to do. So there is an inflation. I'm actually watching some of the other commodities right now, like cocoa and orange juice. They're all spiking like crazy.
Right.
So I'm watching some of the other these are lower volume markets, but they're already spiking like crazy. So there's a little bit of a firecracker that could be set off here from an inflationary perspective. So it will be interesting to see if that, torch gets lit, but it is there.
Yeah. Talk to me. What other markets do you trade and cover, and give me your projections on those?
The bonds, for instance, I do a lot of bonds. I've got actually a really large bond trader.
I wouldn't know bonds. So there was a saying is that the experts trade the bond market, and the fools or not the fools, but the people that don't know what they're doing trade stocks. So tell me about the bond market.
So it's basically inverse of the interest rate. And so right now, you have bonds kind of basing out right now, trying to, you know, I'm staring at the bonds chart every day and it's just sitting there. It really came off hard. But if we go back into a lower interest rate environment, you're going to see the bonds on our side really take off. So that's what I'm watching right now. Like on a very short term, you can see kind of basing out on our charts. And it's trying to basically figure out what's going to happen with Trump, in my opinion, with the whole interest rate, game. And like you said, you know, they're gonna have to turn the spigot on to keep this thing going, and lower the interest rates. So it will be interesting to see what happens. And the feds are already, you know, pricing that in. We've already had a cut, but, you know, on the other end, you know, interest rates went higher and it, was a little bit backwards from what we were kind of expecting.
Yeah. Okay. Well, tell me about energy and oil. What do you see energy and oil doing, or is that a market that you trade?
Yeah, energy. I trade oil, even natural gas. Natural gas has been very low for some time, and even crude oil is trying to basically put in. I mean, it's low overall compared to what it could be. You know, it's in the 60-70 range. It's been basing out in that area. If the match gets lit, you could see crude oil jump to 80 or 90, and then they've got the geopolitical situation. So if you got the geopolitical fire up and we do continue in a kind of a wartime drum, which I'm kind of surprised there's not an extra $10 premium in crude oil right now based on everything that's going on. But that's also telling me the economy is, you know, relatively a lot slower than what they're reporting.
Right.
So
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, okay. So oil, it has been soft, and it's really been my surprise because I'm a pretty bullish long-term bull. And I don't say that. I say that because I just see the oil markets being neglected, if you would.
Yep.
I just don't see a whole lot of production coming on the next several years, if you would.
Yep. Yep.
And then you have all the geopolitical tensions. So it's like, I'm scratching my head. Why is oil so low? And it has to be the economy, right? Because you're having a softer economy.
Yep.
So my thesis is, correct me if I'm wrong, they're going to have to stimulate that. And again, that is a thesis. That is an assumption. If they stimulate that, it would be very, very bullish for the metals markets.
It would be in crude oil and everything. It would be very inflationary across the board. And so that's what I'm kind of waiting. I think all of us right now, there's this kind of like calm before the storm feeling. Even with my book, I'm watching everybody trade. It's, you know, everyone's kind of backed off a little bit. I can tell the psychology of my clients is a little, they're not quite sure where to go with things. You know, I would say 2 months ago, it was kind of, it was pretty easy, you know, but right now everyone's kind of up the brakes and kind of seeing where this is going to go. And if they do stimulate, you're going to see crude oil, a lot of stuff just kind of explode, you know?
So you talk about psychology. What do you look for in psychology of trading and in investing?
Well, it's a good question. So I've been studying the psychology of even bullion traders with the internet. You know, we've got this thing called, the X platform. And so it's interesting. I'm on there too, reading the same news you guys do and all the news landscape and all the new little newsletter writers and gurus. And so when I see, for instance, when gold was reaching all time highs and on X, you know, everyone's cheerleading gold, it starts throwing red flags, you know, and I'm a bit of a contrarian. So I start watching or taking that risk off the table. So I do keep a pulse on the psychology of the markets through platforms like X. Because it's kind of fascinating. I just love psychology in itself. And I just love how people always think it's to the moon, but you got to realize futures products are designed for, you know, hedgers. They weren't designed for spec retail for them to have profits. So there's always going to be a whipsaw effect.
Yeah.
And so, you know, knowing that, I do monitor kind of the pulse of the markets out there on these platforms.
You know, my wife is a psychologist.
Okay.
Here. And that's near and dear to me. And a funny story, I was in, when I started my career, 98? I used to be very active in the oil markets. I think it was 98 when The Economist came out with their infamous cover. a wash in oil. I don't know if you remember that or not.
I don't remember that.
Well, that signaled, it was on the front page of The Economist, and that signaled the bottom of oil. So I guess, yeah, I try to look for pain, like real, and I don't buy something just because there's severe pain, but that makes me interested, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I do, like, even the all the big forecasters out there putting these outlandish forecasts, I keep track of that and, you know, kind of get on the other side of those situations. And the market sentiment is another big one, you know, like, so for instance, market sentiment really, for the bullish picture, really dried up in the last month. And so in saying that, I'm sitting there going, okay, no one's talking about the metals anymore. Probably time to start taking some positions. You know, yeah. I'm not saying leverage up, but just start, you know, start thinking about taking some positions. And you can see the market sentiment really just tanks on the social media platforms.
Yep. Do you look at like Commitment to Traders reports? Do you look at the put and calls? What are some of the indicators?
I don't do a lot of the COT reports. I mean, you can always look at those and see where the managed money is and spec retail, but I will say this, the psychology of it too, when, you know, a year ago, nobody cared about precious metals. I couldn't get any clients to buy it. Well, that was a signal for me. It's time to buy.
Right.
You know, it was funny when $23, I even put a video out, you know, $23 silver, like, you know, and I don't put a ton of videos. I'm very, very cautious when I put videos out of market overview, but I couldn't sell $23 silver. It was interesting, but $33 silver, I could sell it all day.
Right.
You know, so I do keep track of that. And that is a internal instinct that I have going, uh-oh, you know, or new clients are coming on board and buying $34 silver. It starts throwing red flags to me. You know, I don't have the crystal ball. Nobody does. But those are where it's kind of like, all right, we need to get a little risk off situation. So I will use that kind of that psychology as a factor too. But the COT reports, I don't use them too much. I mean, those can flip-flop so quickly. So I don't go off of that too much, to be honest with you. I have my own little indicator package I've been using for 20 years. I'm a simpleton. I try to keep the noise out of my head as much as possible. You know, I try to keep it as simple as possible. I use some simple moving averages on the charts, use a little client psychology, and make, you know, trades accordingly off that. But I've just noticed over the years, if you're using too many things, you will get... you'll be telling yourself to buy and sell every day.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting too, is like cut a video. I cut some videos with a very known person in this industry and gold was screaming. This was before the election about 4 weeks ago, 40,000 views, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I cut one on energy, same guest, and energy's, you know, in the toilet. It
there
got
you go.
Fourth of the... And I'm more bullish on energy actually, just because of where it's at. And it just, if that's not a contrarian indicator, I just thought to myself. So,
yeah, I've actually thought of, I'm not a computer programmer and I know they've written computer programs, but taking market sentiment off the internet. I know they did this 25 years ago for the stock market, you know, with Google and the whole internet as a whole, but like with the AI coming out, you know, creating a market sentiment indicator that would pull data points, you know, yeah. Like you just said, you know, I only got, you know, 1/4 the views on crude oil. Well, I'd be looking to take a position, you know, versus yeah. When you get maximum views and everyone's going nuts, you know, maybe take some risk off.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Well, Drew, what are your final thoughts, or I guess moving into the end of the year, what would you say to people that want to invest in gold and what, yeah, or just.
Yeah, I'm pretty bullish. Like, you know, I would say Bank of America came out with a prediction of 3,000. I'm always a little leery of those guys, the Bank of America and the major players, but I am bullish, but there's a, you know, it's a tough finger right now. So I'm a little risk off. I'm not going, you know, nuts in the market right now because the day he gets voted in, and if the narrative continues to go down more of a peaceful and the Ukrainian situation really dies off, a lot of risk premium is going to come out of the metals. So I'm just cautiously optimistic. I've got positions, but I'm not going overboard going into the new year. We got to see kind of how things set Q1. of next year and continue listening to the narrative that's going to come out of this presidency. So that's kind of where I'm at. But I think overall, you're going to have your ups and downs, and you're going to have some opportunities, you know, in that sector.
Got it. So if people want to do business with you, if they're interested in what you do, how do they find you?
You can just go to progoldtrader.com. You can go on YouTube. I've got a lot of instructional videos. Like I said, I'm really going after those spot guys and trying to help people out. So you can go to progoldtrader.com or even profuturestrader.com. I own both of those brands. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm here just to have a conversation and genuinely just help people out, particularly with the educational part, and make sure they understand what they're doing. So,
got it. I'll link to these two sites just below this video. All right. Nice to meet you, Drew.
All right. Take care, Andy.
Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.